R 94.1, and we welcome Myron Williams. Myron, how are you?
Great. How about yourself, man?
Hey, just great. Just blessed. Myron, first of all, let's talk about Marvin Sapp and the song One Thing. How did that come about?
Well, it was a song that I submitted to the Potter's House Mass Choir back when they were recording the album Wing and a Prayer. And the producer, I believe you know him, is Kevin Bond, was the producer, and he was, you know, over particularly picking the music. And I submitted One Thing to Potter's House, and when he heard it, he also was producing One Thing. I mean, he was producing The Diary of a Psalmist, Marvin Sapp. And when he heard it, he was like, wow, man, I don't think this – oh, actually, my bad. It was not the Potter's House. It was the Heritage Praise and Worship, Teresa Harrison Gospel Today is okay. What it was. And he says to Steve Lawrence, who was a real good friend of mine, you know what, man, I know Myron submitted this for the Praise and Worship Project for Teresa Harrison Gospel Today. He says, but I would like to put this on Marvin Sapp's project. And so Steve was like, well, you know, I'm sure when I call Myron, he won't have a problem with that. Come to find out, you know, he didn't know, but me and Marvin are really close friends. We're really good friends, and he never reached out to me personally for the actual recording. But because of the producer, you know, that I knew, Kevin Bond, he was the one that reached out to me. And that song has been a theme, an anthem for Marvin all over the country, man. One Thing That I Desire.
Did you think that song would do what it did?
Well, had no clue to that degree that it would be, you know, that major. Because I write, you know, when I write, I like to write scripturally. I like to glean from scriptures. I very seldom write songs that might have a testimony to it more than I do scripturally based. And for some reason in industry, you know, those songs were not as popular as maybe, you know, I need got a bill due and all of that kind of stuff. So, and I don't knock those songs because those are, you know, those writers write on the shoulders of other people. But at the end of the day, I never would have dreamed that the flat-out scripture would just be, you know, deemed number one. And that album was on Billboard for number one for us quite some time.
It sure was.
When it was out. So to God be the glory for the scripture that, you know, all he says is in the word that if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men.
Unto me.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Our guest is Myron Williams. When you formed a group with your brother, DeMarcus, it didn't go maybe the way you wanted it to go. Were you disheartened a little bit?
Well, not really, because it may not have went the way we wanted it to go industry-wise, but it was setting the platform for where I am today. You know, anything you do in industry is considered paying your dues. And I bet you can't either. You can't name one artist that just showed up overnight.
That's
you
true.
You know, and just came out of the clear blue and said, even Kirk Franklin, if you go back and look at some of the old DFW Mass Choir days, you know, you would have thought his career was just going to be a choir director.
Hey.
But Kirk would direct those songs, man, and bring the power of God in the room, and, you know, the people would just go bananas. But look at him today. He's standing on stage, you know, before four or five people singing in a group. And there you have it. His real, you know, all of that was a platform. So I look at that also as being a platform. My ministry in the earlier years is going to be a platform from where I am today. You know, we launched from MDMN Voices. Thank God for MDMN Voices, because without them, a lot of the legwork would not have been done to prepare the way for Myron Williams' ministry. So I'm grateful to God for the path that we took with MDMN Voices, Voices of Power, and things of that nature.
You know, it's interesting because I was working at an AM station at the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the project came in, and I didn't know who Myron Williams was. All I knew was MDM, and I mean, the song that I was playing, it was a hot song. And I was wondering why nobody else played it as much, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And when I did my research, I was like, wow. I was like, I never, all those years, I never would have thought that I would be meeting the person behind that song.
Absolutely.
Right.
And, you know, I have some funny stories behind that. You know, I remember when I went to visit an AM station. I'm not going to even call the city, but it was somewhere on the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
And I got there, and we were a little late because the driver got lost. Well, this DJ, she comes in. I think at the time we were promoting, I had a new album out, Myron Williams, That I May Know Him, MDM and Voices, That I May Know Him was the name of the CD. And so I also had out me singing The Devil's Already Defeated and When My Season Comes on the Potter's House. So when we got to the place, the lady was like, well, y'all are late. Y'all are late. Y'all need to come on. You know, we were supposed to have been here 30 minutes ago. My show ends in 5 minutes, and you only have 5 minutes. I need you to choose what song you want me to play. I'm going to tell the people you're here, and then we're going to be out of here. And I was like, well, I apologize for being tardy because I am a stickler for time. I'm never late to anything. But this time, it was out of my control. The driver drove,
mm-hmm.
and he got lost. So she says, well, what song do you want me to play? I was real, really snappy about it. And I said, well, you know what? Don't even play anything from my CD. Why don't you just play... The song from Bishop Jake's album says When My Season Comes. She's like, why should I play that? That has nothing to do with you. I said, oh, my bad. That's me who ministered the song. Oh, that was you? You mean to tell me that's you that sing the song? Hold on, let me. And her whole attitude changed. She came back with like 20 more minutes and all this kind of. I kind of politely told her, no, I just want the 5 minutes you gave me at first. And, you know, we'll just play that. I'll say hello to your people, and I'll be on my way. And I'm saying all of that to say is sometimes you have to be careful how you treat people.
That's true.
You have to be careful how you treat people because God is raising up people from the backside of the desert that you may not know. But one day they may have a number 9 hit on the charts, and you have to come back and deal with those people. So my theology to all of that is treat everybody the same. You know, I don't care if you're Radio 1 or if you're just an AM station. I try my best to make all of the interviews and do all of the things that I'm required from industry because you just never know. I'm sitting here talking to you right now, but you may end up being the owner of Radio 1.
True.
One day.
Yeah.
You know, so at the end of the day, man, I have no regrets for what happened to me back in the day. And believe it or not, underground-wise, man, you know, that CD did well. So many people who attend different meetings and conventions and so forth, you know, they always had my back when it came to our material and stuff like that. So I'm just glad to now be out front in what we call this wonderful industry. But it's not me. It's God. If you listen to my new project, Made to Worship You, and you don't feel the presence of God on it, then I think you need to go back and revisit why you're in this thing we call Christianity. Because at the end of the day, it will allow you to want to get closer to God. Made to Worship You will make you rethink and revisit, why am I even a Christian? You know, what is it about this thing that, you know, I say I live? What is it about Jesus that I love so much? And really get you reacquainted with the first love of your life, Jesus Christ. And that's what I wanted to do. I wanted it to put Jesus so far out front that you really didn't even see Myron Williams. And I thank God that he gave us the remedy on how to make it happen.
Were you surprised when it came in? Was it number 9 when it debuted on the
Actually, I was surprised, and I'm going to tell you why I was surprised. I was fairly surprised because we didn't even record the project for that kind of status. Dr. Bynum and myself were in the studio, and every time we would sit in the studio and a moment would hit us while we were mixing, we would say stuff like, man, I wonder if Willie Ellis in Chicago is going to enjoy this record, or his sister Brown, if she hears this song, if she's going to really feel the presence of God. And we never once was in the studio saying, you know, I wonder if we're going to win a Grammy, or are we going to chart, or will this get a Stella? And even now, it doesn't even matter. You know, it's always been for God's glory. So when it charted, came out, debuted number 9 in the top 10 of Billboard, we were all surprised. We were all shocked because we, you know, we knew we had a dynamic marketing team, but when you don't make that your focus and it happens, it's almost like, wow, look at here, look at what God is doing. So, hey. Yeah, we were all much amazed about that.